Thanks for the organizing committee, such that I have this opportunity to present my work here. I just wish after two continuous talk of braids, your brains haven't been braided too much, because I'm gonna braid your brains a little bit more. Oh. And one advantage is you will get many bonus, because we have many bonus slides to explain details if you have questions. So this is my title, Braid Propagation and Interaction of Framed or Not Framed for Valence Spin Network, Spin Networks Embedded in some S3 Topology. Now here's the outline. So introduction, operations, and most important things, interaction and propagation, and some conclusions. So what we're going to deal with is a spin network, four-valence spin network, embedded in some three topology. It can be framed or unframed. We're going to talk about both of these cases. So this is the kind of picture I dig up from Google Image. I don't know who made it, but it looks fun. So, but how are we going to notate this kind of graphs such that we can easily manage those equivalence moves which don't change the diffeomorphism class of the diffeomorphism of a the projection of such a embedded graph. So what we're going to do is we use solid rigid spheres and tubes to do such a job. So locally, a four-valent node can be considered dual to a tetrahedron. So it has four edges attached to a rigid sphere. By rigid, we mean the only motion we can do on the sphere is to rotate it or translate it, and nothing else. And there are four edges which are actually can be considered dual to the four faces of a tetrahedron. So that this looks like a kind of a complicated notation. So we can very well choose to simplify the notation a little bit by replacing the spheres by circles and these tubes by lines. By this solid line, we mean those two edges, A and C, which are in the front, so that you can see them. And B and D, connected by a dashed line penetrating the circle, means the two edges that are in the back, in the projection, so that you cannot see the whole picture of them. So this is another view. If we look at this sphere from the back, we can see that B and D becomes the two edges in the front. So, and because in the framed case, these edges, these tubes can be very well twisted. So we can also represent the twist by just notate the twist explicitly on the edges. So now the problem is in the four-valent case, we don't have the so-called reduced link invariance like what we had in the trivalent case. And we also don't have those isolated substructures discovered by Jonathan that can be translated in the network. But we have something else, and those are really cool stuff. They are braids, true braids. Here we show you one of the examples. This is actually a two-crossing braid. It's formed by the three common edges of two adjacent nodes. They have three common edges. And one of the requirements on this braid is that the portion captured between these two nodes, we call them end nodes, the portion captured between these two end nodes actually satisfies the definition of braid in ordinary braid theory. So now what can we do about these braids? So we should do some operations on them. And what kind of operations we can do? There are mainly two type of operations. One is equivalence moves. The other type is the so-called evolution moves, so that we can do dynamics. Now let's take a look at the equivalence moves first. I forgot to mention one thing here. So because these nodes can be locally considered dual to a tetrahedron, so if we grab one of the four edges of a node, for example, the B, then actually the other three edges, A, C, and D, are actually on an equal footing. So which means there's a rotation symmetry. So we can actually do rotations of them. And all these rotations are actually generated by the so-called pi over 3 rotations. Here's an example. So suppose this is the node, and we grab the xz of this node as the rotation axis, and we put the other three edges of this node on an equal footing, and we do left-handed rotation of pi over 3, we will create a crossing of edges A and B, and also same amount of twistings on all these edges. And also we can very well do a rotation in the other direction, which is shown in the second half of this picture. The first half is just the one I have shown already. And so in this case, we consider rotation of a node such that the edges A and C are in the front. We can also consider the other situation such that where the edges A and C are in the back. So it's shown here. It's pretty similar. We got crossings and twistings. So apart from rotations, we can also do translations. These translations are actually kind of generalized Riemann-Meissner moves in three topology. So we can, this is the most trivial case where there's a node and these red dots means that the points attached to somewhere else, some other nodes. So we consider that these red points are actually fixed. So we can actually translate the node X along the edges A or B. So in this case, we can consider translation along the edge A such that we arrive at the picture in part B. And the second case is that where there is a crossing, where there is a crossing between edges E and A is an edge of this node. But we can also translate the node X along the edge A such that we got a picture like this. And the original crossing, which was between edges E and A, now becomes a crossing between edges C and edges E and B. But the parallelity of the crossing doesn't change. These are all the equivalence moves. By these equivalence moves, we can find out what graphs are actually equivalent to each other, so that we can put them into the same equivalence class of diffeomorphism. But more importantly, we wanted to see among all these kind of braids that are so interesting to us, what are the equivalent braids such that we can put them in the same equivalence class. And also, by these equivalence moves, we found out some classification of braids that are very important to our later discussion of interactions and propagations. So let's have a look at but I don't have very much time to discuss all these kind of classifications. I just bring out a very important definition for our interactions and propagations. This definition is called if a braid is so-called left or right irreducible or reducible, if it is equivalent to a braid with fewer number of crossings by the equivalence moves exerted only on the left or the right nodes, right end nodes of the braid. So let's show an example. So this is a two crossing braids, apparently. However, if we grab the HZ of this node 2 and do a pi over 3 rotations, left-handed pi over 3 rotations, we can actually change. We can eliminate this crossing safely, such that we got to a crossing, a braid with only one crossing. And this braid is not reducible anymore by any of those equivalence moves. So we call this braid an irreducible braid. Now let's talk about the 2-3 moves. The first of the evolution moves. The 2-3 moves should be very familiar to loop quantum gravity people who are familiar with four-valence spin networks. They can be considered as kind of dual pattern moves in the four-valence case. So here are two nodes that have only one common edge connecting them. And nodes X and Y, and edges A and C, A prime and C prime are in the front. So that we can do a 2-3 move such that the original two nodes are annihilated, but only three new nodes are created. And on top of that, we have a loop represented by the green lines created by the 2-3 move. And also we can do a 3-2 move back from this picture to the previous one. The case where the 3-2 move cannot be done is that when there is some other edge penetrating this green loop, such that the green rule becomes incontractable. So in that case, we won't be able to do the 3-2-2 move. This is very similar to the trivalent case. So, and we can, here we considered AC are on top in the front. We can also consider both, these A and this, this is not yet. So this node can be actually oriented to the other side, like in this picture, and they are equivalent to each other. You can consider translation moves. We can also consider A and C are the edges in the back. We can, in this case, it is similar to do to the 3-move and 3-2-2 moves back to the previous setup. A part of the 2-3 moves and 3-2-2 moves, we can also do the expansion move, which is different, 1-4 moves. Yeah. 1-4 moves brings one node to 4 nodes with 4 loops represented by 4 newly generated loops represented by these red lines. And this can be also visualized in the dual picture in the tetrahedron. One tetrahedron is actually splitted into 4 tetrahedra by these red lines coming out of the barycenter of this tetrahedron. So equipped it with all these moves, we can now show you how we do propagation and interactions of these rays. Here's an example. In this example, because training minutes is definitely not enough to show the details, so I just quickly show you what do we mean by an active right interaction. So this is a braid, a one crossing braid, and this braid is actually reducible from the rotation of the node on the node X on the right, but irreducible on the left. So there's no rotation moves or any other kind of moves can be done to actually reduce this braid to a trivial braid. So this kind of braid, which is right reducible but not left reducible, they never actually actively interact to the left. So here is the braid V, and this is another arbitrary braid. We don't care about what it is. So I actually neglected the right end node of this braid to save some space, although space is cheap. But anyway, so then we can do a set of equivalence moves and the evolution moves. The first evolution moves we can do is we can do a 2-3 move of these 2 nodes X and Y. After that, we will generate 3 new nodes, like what we have seen before. And what we're gonna do after that is to translate those 3 new nodes all the way to the left, such that they will become adjacent to the node, one here. And then we do a 4-1, after some equivalence moves, we will do a 4-1 collapse move to bring the whole structure to a new braid. And so that we can arrive at a new braid, which can be considered as a direct sum of the original 2 braids. And the crossings of the original 2 braids are preserved. They're just connected to each other by direct sum. And a part of this, astonishingly, the original twist on this braid, on braid B, is also conserved under this set of moves. So we call this a right interaction, because the braid on the left interacts onto a braid on the right. The reason why we call it an active interaction is because after the first 2-3 move of nodes X and Y, all the subsequent moves actually down with about the braid B on the left. It has nothing to do with the crossings of the arbitrary braid on the right. So we call the braid B actively right intact onto the arbitrary braid B prime on the right. Okay. So now let's show you that if we just have interactions, it sounds weird if we don't have propagations, because how could things just stay there and interact with each other, right? So now I show you the propagations. So here's an example. This is a 2-crossing braid, alternating braid. We call it braid V. And there's some other structures on the right of it. This structure is formed by 2 subdiagrams, S and S prime, and some external edge goes to somewhere else in the world, and we don't care about where it is. And we're gonna show that this whole braid can be very well moved to the right of this whole structure. And S and S prime can be actually connected somehow. that if they are connected, in most of cases, the propagation don't work. If they are not connected, then in most of cases, the propagation do work. So it's the same as the interaction. We will do a set of evolution moves and equivalence moves. So evolution moves is the first down by 2 to 3 move on X and Y, and then set of equivalence move, translations, rotations, and then a final 3 to 2 move. We will bring the original configuration to such a setup. The braid B becomes the one on the right. However, you may notice that there's no twist on these braids. This is because in this picture, in this we are considering the unframed case in this picture. So when the spin network is unframed, it's twist free, and the propagation is can be very well understood. But when they are twisting, when they are twisted on the strands of the braid, and we also have propagations, but the problem is in the final 3 to 2 move, we will have twist on the green loop, if you still remember it, and we don't know if we can really do a 3 to 2 move in that case. The situation is, if we can really do a 3 to 2 move, then we still have a propagation, and the initial twist on the braid B are preserved after the propagation. However, if we don't allow a 3 to 2 move, we don't know what's actually going on there. So we don't quite 100% understand that case. So that's why I bring up an unframed case to show you an example. And this bingo actually shows my respect and appreciation to the organizing committee, because this is Spanish grammar. Okay, so I won't have any more acknowledgement slides. So we have interactions, propagations. Things looks very wild, very, very, very good. We have braids that can propagate and act on the spin networks. And these may be interpreted as particles or whatever, and that's their story later. So I'd rather like to bring up some theorems which constrains the interactions and propagations. So these theorems are very interesting because they show some chirality of the propagations interactions. The first one is, if a braid is left or right irreducible, this braid can never be actively right interacting. Moreover, if a braid is completely irreducible, which means no equivalence moves can be done on both of the ends of the braid to reduce the number of crossings of that braid, then the braid is never actively interacting. It can only stay somewhere until the other braid come up to it and actively interact onto it. So, and the situation is similar in the case of propagation. So if a braid is left or right irreducible, then it can never move to the left or to the right. And if it is completely irreducible, then it's static, can only stay there until somebody else come up. So the last theorem is that if a braid is actively left or right interacting, it implies that the braid is also left or right propagating. This is very good. So, but not vice versa. So if a braid last slide. If a braid can propagate, doesn't mean it can actively interact. So here's conclusions. So we studied the 3-strand braids in the embedded 4-valent spin networks, and we found out the detailed classifications of these braids. And these classifications can be found in our forthcoming paper, because there is too much involved. And we have shown examples of braids that can interact, that can propagate, and both of the propagations and interactions are actually chiral. And also, interaction implies propagation. So some of the future works. So the future works is solve the problem of the twist in the propagation of the framed case, and also to find the physical correspondence of our theories. It may be just directly correspond to Sundance's prion model, or it may not be. may be just something else which are related to fundamental particle physics. And there is another possibly direct application of these findings, which is related to Mohamed Ansori's work about the black hole entropy and spectroscopy. And this talk, I will also give present his work tomorrow. If you are interested, please come to the talk. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I would like to say. So this is the final picture for fun.
Okay, great. First of all, tell me if I'm understanding this correctly. I like your representation of Hyperion and these nodes, the lines that I got from each base. Now, say, what you're doing is each of these connecting lines corresponding to connecting then two bases of different pitch meters?
That's a good question. So you can, it really depends. You can, for example, if in the frame case you have twists on the edges, right? You can understand those twists are actually associated with the, for example, there are two nodes with the common edge, and there's some twists on the common edge. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, you can consider, yeah, the twist is associated with the node on the left or on the right. It depends on the need, on your needs, because it doesn't change anything topologically.
But I was just wondering if that's what you were thinking, maybe you didn't show a diagram, but that's what the lights meant, the twisting time of being tetrahedral faces
again. Yeah, we didn't show that, because when two tetrahedral faces with each other with a twisting on it, we don't know if we can do the 2-to-3 move or not. And we require, on the current stage, we require that we don't do 2-to-3 move if there is a twist on the common edge between two nodes.
And if you do interpret it that way, what does the over and under grading signify?
Over and under. Because it's just the over and under gradings that come out in the embedding of the spin networks. Oh, I don't really see what you mean.
Well, if we're under. No. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
This is, let's continue this discussion. One more question. I just had a question. It's for the definition of
This is actually not in a particular projection.
Is there a algebraic?
It's definitely very interesting, but currently we haven't think about it yet. So the direct correspondence between John's polynomials or any other kind of topological invariants regarding knots, rays. No. Yeah. But we can definitely discuss about this later, and we may look into it.
Great. Let's thank you then.